himself in a position of superiority over the others. Again, as we mentioned a moment ago, he said, though they all fall away, not me. Jesus, you can count on me. You can count on me. More than them. I've got your back. Well, Peter truly didn't understand the deep divine purpose that stood behind and made the Savior's suffering and death necessary. That even as sin entered the world because of man's rejection of God, the Savior would be completely rejected as he made satisfaction for the sin of man, for the sin of rejecting God. No one, Peter didn't understand that no one could walk down the path that the Father laid before the Son, and whoever tried, like Peter, could only increase the Lord's suffering, especially because of Peter's sinful attitude. Peter overestimated his own strength and his own confidence. He thought that he was able to stand by Jesus' side. He thought that he was able to face the coming storm. His confidence, you see, was not a confidence in the Holy Spirit like it was after Pentecost, when he really was willing to suffer and die for the Savior. But at this time, he was filled with a sinful and an arrogant confidence, simply contradicting the Lord Jesus Christ and disregarding the Word of God in Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And really what Peter is saying here is this. He's saying to his Lord, I don't believe you. Let that sink in for a minute. That's what he's saying to God. I don't believe you. You are wrong. Certainly, you must be mistaken. That will never happen to me. Well, again, we need to give Peter and the other apostles a little bit of credit because his intention was well meant. When we think about to deny, indeed, we are able to deny something that simply isn't true, to be sure. But there's also an aspect of denying that includes refusing something that one desires. And I don't mean to give such a light or flippant illustration, but somebody on a diet will deny themselves something they really love. Chocolate, fast food, whatever it is. In truth, beloved, the disciples desired to remain faithful to Jesus, but when the temptation came, they were not able to. Peter's intention was well meant, but he was not listening to the word of the Lord. He was saying, I'm stronger than your word. Peter says that he will die if necessary, therefore deceiving himself that he could stand by Jesus' side, that he could even help him through this if necessary. Yet by boasting, he wounded Jesus deeply because of his blindness to Christ's divine mission. No one could do this with Jesus, but at the very same time, no one would be able to stop the fulfillment of the Word of God. That Word already spoken in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, when God promised the seed of the woman to crush the head of the seed of the serpent, and all throughout the Old Testament. And even in the Gospels, we read time and time again, this took place that the Word of God might be fulfilled, even Judas's betrayal. No one could stop the fulfillment of God's Word. Peter was relying on his own strength. He failed to humble himself before the Lord at the Word of Jesus. He was confident. Yet who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be? Who wouldn't be while in the presence of Christ? Who wouldn't be while in front of the other disciples? Who wouldn't be with absolutely no enemies standing around to attack? Beloved, it's easy, isn't it, to boldly stand up for Christ in church. It's easy to boldly stand up for Christ surrounded by fellow believers. It's easy to boldly stand up for Christ with the world locked outside our doors. It's easy in the company of God's people to say, I will never. It's easy to profess the Apostles' Creed in here. But what do we do out there? What would you do if there was a knife to your throat, threatening to slit your throat, if you would not renounce your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? You see, beloved, this is a call for each and every one of us to beware. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, he says, "Therefore, let anyone who thinks that he stands take heed, lest he fall." May we never forget the word of our Lord in John 15, 15, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." Well, this part of the event ends with verse 35. And notice that at this point, at least in Matthew's gospel record, and I think that's true in the other four if I remember right as well, Jesus doesn't refute Peter. He doesn't debate Peter. He simply waits in the second place for the fulfillment of this prophecy, which he knew would work itself out. From the garden, we have verses 36 through 68. Really not a whole lot of verses as far as Matthew's gospel account, because really not a whole lot of time. But in those verses, the events include the fact that Jesus prays. And he is already in torment. He is already suffering, even as he prays, we know. And while Jesus is praying, the disciples sleep. Those who said they would die for him cannot even stay awake and watch and pray for 1 hour. Also in the meantime, then Judas comes with the authorities and with the religious leaders, and he betrays Jesus, and at which time Peter happens to wake up and he cuts off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And in that way, too, there are those who say we need to give Peter a little bit of credit, because by that act he did show that possibly at that time he was willing to die for Jesus. But you know what happened then? Jesus was arrested. He didn't. He said he could call upon his Father for legions of angels, but he didn't do it. He didn't do it. So he's arrested and he's brought to Caiaphas and he's brought to the scribes and to the elders. But wait, where are his disciples? Well, already back in verse 56, the very last part of verse 56, "Then all the disciples left him and fled." Wow. That didn't take very long. They leave Christ isolated and they choose in favor of themselves and their own lives. And notice by that, Jesus was already taking their place. And that was bad of the disciples. But again, our attention needs to shift to Peter, to the courtyard. What is Peter doing? Well, verse 58, "And Peter was following him at a distance as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and going inside, he sat with the guards to see the end." Now, I find that really quite interesting. I find it interesting that that's what we find Peter doing. I mean, we might have expected that after our Lord's prophecy right to Peter's face about Peter, that he would go into isolation, that he would go somewhere where he is all by himself, that there's not even one other single solitary person around, so that he doesn't even have an opportunity to deny his Savior. Boys and girls, sometimes whether you're sitting in church and you're having a hard time sitting still and you want to reach for everything, or maybe your mom has you in a store and it's full of stuff that she didn't want you to break, and either in here they say, "Sit on your hands," or in the store, "Put your hands in your pocket." We might have expected that Peter would at least put a piece of duct tape over his mouth. Instead, he puts himself right into temptation's way. Now, beloved, we cannot miss the importance of this denial event, as all the Gospels tell of it. And indeed, there are some differences in the details from the four, not to weaken the truth of it, but to supplement and to add meaning to the truth. For example, Mark alone tells us about the rooster's first crow. It crowed twice, which again, interestingly, did not even get Peter's attention. Luke tells us that there was an hour between the second and the third denial as well. He tells us that after the third denial and after the rooster crowing, that Jesus turned to look at Peter. John tells us that with the third denial, the relative of Malchus, whose ear Peter cut off in the garden, claimed seeing Peter in the garden. But notice, you know, now Peter must have been in danger, right? He had to have been in danger, because certainly this courageous disciple who said, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you, certainly his life had to be in danger. There must have been a knife to his throat, or he was standing before a firing squad like a prisoner of war, that if you don't give up those war secrets, we're going to kill you. It must have been a life-threatening situation to make him change his mind. But what does the Bible say? Verse 69, now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, you also were with Jesus the Galilean. What? A servant girl? A maid? No doubt armed? With an apron? And a towel? You know, beloved, later on, Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5, be sober, be alert, because Satan prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone whom he may devour. Peter knew what he was talking about. And on this very night, Satan was prowling in the form of a servant girl. And when the temptation came, Peter caved in. Mr. Confident was not so confident anymore. As he says, we read in verse 70, but he denied it before them all, saying, I do not know what you mean. And beloved, we need to take that to heart. This was not a severe threat for Peter. Look how easily we are able to fall into temptation. Even with the least seemingly likely temptation. By running away, the other disciples were admitting that they knew Jesus, yet they knew their lives were in danger if they stuck around. But Peter, now feeling threatened that if he was found out to be with Jesus and if Jesus was condemned, his life was also in danger. And to ease the suspicion, he moves to the entrance, to the gateway, but he wasn't safe there either. Verse 71, and when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, this man was with Jesus of Nazareth, an army of servant girls. And he builds on his first lie, because you know that's what you have to do. Verse 72, and again he denied it with an oath, I do not know the man. Now we don't have time to talk really about that much about an oath, but you know that an oath really is to call God, as the Catechism says, the only true searcher of hearts, the only one who can verify the truth, is to call on God as a witness. Peter called God to partner with Peter in a lie about God's own Son. And notice this time, Peter did not just claim ignorance about the topic. I do not know what you mean, he said the first time, as if to say, well, that's preposterous. But he completely separates himself from Jesus, the man. I do not know the man. Calling God to witness his rejection of God. And understand here too that the force of the original Greek is this, that Peter is saying, I have never known, nor have I ever met this man. He sinks lower and lower and lower. But the night's not over, is it? Luke again tells us that an hour passed. These challenges and denials weren't bing, bang, boom. He had time to think about what he had said and done. He had time to think about the glory of Jesus and the privilege of seeing that glory in the Mount of Transfiguration. He had time to think about what Jesus said he was going to do. Yet with the most challenging accusation yet, his defense and his denial sinks to an all-time low. Verses 73 and 74. After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, certainly you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you. Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, I do not know the man. By cursing, not cussing, not saying cuss words, but by cursing, not only does he call God to witness his lie, but what he does then is he abandons his body and soul to destruction if God finds him out to be lying. He is literally saying, may God curse me, may God condemn me, may I perish miserably if I have anything in common with the salvation of God. And beloved, that's what the truth is, that's what we say when we deny Christ in any way. We're no different. That's what we are saying when we deny Christ in any way. And no doubt it crushed Christ's soul more than the physical pain of the hammer and nails. You see, that's the very reason he suffered the cup of God's wrath. Well, we cannot leave the rooster out of this fulfillment, because this fulfillment took place by the rooster, and immediately the rooster crowed. In God's providence and according to the command of God at just the right time, you see, the succession of events was this. The rooster crows, Jesus turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus. In an instant, like a bolt of lightning, he remembers the word of Jesus, and that he had just fulfilled the word of Jesus, and maybe even worse yet, he knew that Jesus knew full well. The crow of the rooster convicted Peter of his sin, that he had his sin of joining himself with the Lord's enemies and his sin of utterly disowning the Savior. Peter said he would give up his life for Jesus, but by cursing and swearing, he really was saying that he was willing to abandon his life in Jesus. And beloved, that's evidence that we too are more often afraid of those who can kill the body than we are of God, of whom Jesus said he is able to kill both body and soul in hell. Beloved, we utterly disown Jesus in so many ways. We utterly disown him every time we choose for the world against him, whether it's because we are ashamed to confess him, or whether it's because we would rather have the honor of men, or whether we are afraid of losing our job or being laughed at for the sake of our faith, or whether we are simply unwilling to suffer for Jesus' sake. We utterly disown him when we willingly participate in sin and in compromise for which he died. How easy it is to disassociate ourselves from Christ and his church when we're out there. But don't forget, he sees it all. He knows it all. Peter was the chief of the Lord's disciples. And again, he did love the Lord deeply, but now he too had abandoned ship. He was a coward, unable to confess his Lord. He who had boldly said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," now said, "I don't know the man." He who had said, "I will die before I will deny," would now rather die than confess. And Jesus Christ was now utterly, completely isolated from men. And his look in the direction of Peter, along with the crow of the rooster, reminded Peter that indeed Peter was a sinful man, that he needed Christ to die for him. And I tend to believe that God, through the crow of the rooster, also then kept Peter from falling deeper. And even though he had denied Christ before men, he went out and he wept bitter tears of repentance before the sight of God. Beloved, we know that Peter was forgiven, that he was restored. That's what we hope to consider tonight. I wanted to put these two sermons on this day together, that we consider Peter's restoration tonight. And he was, because of our Lord Jesus and his work on his behalf. Even before he went to the cross in John chapter 17, again, that high priestly prayer of our Lord, even before Jesus was arrested, even before Peter denied him, Jesus prayed. He prayed on behalf of himself. He prayed on behalf of his disciples. And he said that not one of them had perished except the son of perdition, again, that the word, that scriptures might be fulfilled. But not one of them perished. And Luke records that Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, Satan has asked to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith might not fail." You might say, well, his faith did fail. No, not completely, because Jesus also said, "And when you return, strengthen your brothers." You see, God's mercy and grace in bringing Peter to repentance proves that he sinned from weakness and not from incurable rejection, as Judas did. Yet again, Peter too is evidence that the natural fleshly man wants nothing to do with Christ. Peter heard the words of Jesus back, recorded back in Matthew chapter 10. "So everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who is in heaven. Peter heard those words. Peter knew those words. So where was he to get comfort now? Well, from the very same place that we are to get our comfort. And that is, beloved, that while he was outside swearing with an oath, disowning his master, Jesus was inside swearing an oath on behalf of his people that indeed he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus was inside at that very same time, preparing to go to the cross alone to pay for the sins of his people, including Peter's denial. And thereby Jesus was preparing to earn the right to stand before his Father in glory to confess as his own all those who would believe on him by the grace of God, Peter too. But beloved, we must confess that if this could happen to Peter, so it could happen to us. Please, let's be honest about that. Because Peter was strong on other occasions. May we not be so arrogant to think that we could be stronger than him. And if Peter had heard Paul say in Romans chapter 7, the good that I want to do, I do not do, but the evil that I don't want to do, that I do. The only response that Peter could make is amen, Paul. That's me. That's me. I desired to stand by the Lord's side, but I was not able. But also his hope was the same hope that Paul had. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, we must confess that we are prone. We also are prone to wander. We are prone to leave the God we love. And it's only by the grace of the Holy Spirit, our spirit is willing, as Jesus said, but the flesh is so very weak. And the truth is, if I had a knife stuck to my throat, especially at this moment, asking, you know, demanding that I renounce the Savior or have my throat slit, I wouldn't have the courage, I wouldn't have the strength to stand firm to face death for the sake of Jesus on my own. That terrifies me. My only hope is that if I ever do need to face that, that God will give me the grace I need when it happens. And you know what? If that's God's plan for my life to die in that way, if that's His plan for your life to die in that way for His glory, He'll see to it. And that's why we can sing as well with that beautiful hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? Since I must fight if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. You see, it's not by our might and power that we maintain a saving relationship with God, but it's only by his work and his might and his power by which he promises, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Nor will anything separate his own from him. In isolation, our Lord Jesus went to the cross to pay for even the most heinous of sins, our sin of denying Him. And He saved us that we might never be isolated from Him. Beloved, for those who are redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ, He strengthens His people to stand firm upon the rock of Peter's previous confession that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember, Peter's accent, his speech betrayed him as being one with Christ. What about us? Does our speech betray us as belonging to him? Or do we betray him with our speech? What did Peter see in Jesus' eyes? Was it pity? Was it sorrow? Probably. But for sure, no doubt, Christ's look spoke to Peter and to all of his sheep who hide their faces from him. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Rest. For those who reject him, for those who want nothing to do with him, like Judas, they will suffer the restlessness of the torment of hell. The torment of hell. But for all those for you, for me, who find our comfort in Christ alone. Ours is eternal rest. Rest with Him. Rest in Him. Christ died alone that we might never be alone. As John says in 1 John 4, verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him and He in God. For those who look to the cross of Jesus in true faith, beloved, we cannot deny that unmistaken truth. What is it? Alleluia. What a Savior. Let's pray together.